BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
So here is Wednesday's podcast, Mrs. Brown's Boys. Do you like it? Why do people hate it so much? We discuss. Also, we catch up with Greg James, the Hell and High Water Challenge on the Zambezi. It's tough. And we try and make you text again with our £1 text song. Also, Real or No Real with Hugh Stevens and 24 Years at the Tap End. It's a Brush with Celebrity special. Enjoy. Right, can I just put this out there? Is anyone listening a fan of Mrs. Brown's Boys? Show on BBC One. Now, I've never actually seen this show, but it is absolutely phenomenally huge. I think it's BBC One's third biggest show. It's up there with Miranda and probably National Lottery draws and Africa.
Yeah, on iPlayer, it's one of the ones that's always in the most popular bit.
Yeah, always. But I don't know if anyone else has noticed this. People who don't like Mrs. Brown's Boys really, really don't like it. They actually hate it to a ridiculous extreme. Now, a friend of ours, who works in a building not too far away from here, has actually been unfriending people on Facebook if they say that they like Mrs. Brown's Boys.
You serious? Is this someone that we'd both know?
Yeah, hi, Kerry. Oh. It's a TV show. Seriously, get over it. There's loads of TV shows that I don't like, but I don't think I'd try and cut people out of my life who like them.
Have you seen it?
No. But it seems that you can't admit to liking Mrs. Brown's Boys in case, I don't know, someone throws a brick through your window or something. It's got ridiculous. How can it be that bad? Do you like it? Have you seen it?
I don't feel I can say now. Is it? I mean, that's ridiculous.
You feel uncomfortable saying whether you like it or not in case you get, what, hate?
For the repercussions, in case I say...
Do people on iPlayer who watch it, do they put the private browsing on?
Yeah.
No, before they watch?
Listen with headphones, yeah. Under a duvet.
Right, yeah, in secret. Yeah. Like, I get the feeling that people would prefer that their mum walked in while they were watching some kind of saucy movie than if it was Mrs. Brown's Boys. Why? Right, I just really want to know this. Why do people hate it so much? I'll tell you another one. Miranda, exactly the same. I don't mind Miranda. It was on in my flat the other day. My flatmate said, seriously, we're going to have to talk about our friendship if you leave this on the TV. He gets really upset with people that like it.
But that's what's ridiculous. Clearly, it can't just be that people hate it. I don't think it's just that. I think it's just that, for some reason, this programme evokes emotions from people that if you don't like it, instead of just going, well, I don't like it, you know, you wouldn't normally say something if you don't like it. For some reason, this riles
it's
people right up.
Proper venom.
But those people who don't like it, don't like it. They go mad about
yes,
it.
Yes, same with Miranda. I want to know, have you actually, has anyone out there defriended people over Mrs. Brown's
That's
Boys?
That's ridiculous.
I know, but I bet it's happened. I want to know, maybe if you've dumped somebody as a girlfriend or boyfriend or even mate because of a TV comedy that they liked and you were like, I'm sorry, I cannot be friends with that person. Please let me know.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
Sit back, relax, maybe have a cup of tea and enjoy today's 24 years at the Tap End.
Today's an interesting one. It's not just like 1 year that we're going to. It sort of dots around a little bit.
Oh.
What I've done is I've themed it a different way.
Is it like a catch-up?
Kind of, but there's a running theme with it, which is basically celebrity encounters. So it's not just 1 year, it covers a number of years and a number of different stories.
Okay, so we're dotting around all over the place.
Yeah, so I'm taking you to my entire life, if you're keen.
I'm just a teenage dirtbag.
Oh, wow. My keen today, I'd like to say thank you to Sadie from County Durham. I'm Billy Keane is not my lover.
I like it that you did credit the person that came up with it, though, and didn't try and pass it off as your own.
No, because I've got in trouble.
I would never do
that. But anyway, look, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Before working at Radio 1, there were several nights out that me and Scott would go on that would lead to many encounters with a variety of celebrities or figures in the public eye.
Was there?
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously not that many because you didn't get invited to loads, or you refused lots of parties.
That'd be it, yeah.
One of the two. You'd rarely find Scott at many showbiz parties as he doesn't like to hang around with celebrities. On the whole, at celebrity parties, he will turn up, mingle for 10 minutes or so, engage in small talk, claim a goodie bag if it's there, and then leave.
That sounds awful.
True.
Hey, I'm not that interested,
you're
am I?
Not keen, let's go to the pub.
Yeah, I will have my bag, though, with me, won't I?
What do you mean, your goodie bag?
Yeah.
Yeah, you always claim your goodie bag if it's there. I've been to a couple of these kinds of parties, and one thing that amazes me is often as you leave, you are given a goodie bag. A small bag of freebies, much like an old-school party bag. Often they are filled with rubbish, rarely cake. The last one I got consisted of some flyers, a badge, a vodka miniature and a mini pepperami.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about the kind of goodie bags they give at the Oscars.
No.
There aren't Rolexes in there.
The main time I've met celebrities when I've been with Scott has been when he has been involved in various TV shows. Often these TV shows will have some kind of party once filming is finished, and that has led to some interesting encounters. Scott was once on a TV show called Love in the Back of a Cab, where various celebrities would drive around London in cabs trying to pick people up.
It wasn't called Love in the Back of a Cab.
I remembered it was to do with taxis and you, and I just made the title up. But it was something like
that. Hang on, I remember it now. I remember exactly what it was. It was called Call Me a Cabbie.
That was it, Call Me a Cabbie.
And it was, I did the voiceover for it. And it was a selection of celebrities who learnt to be London taxi drivers and did the knowledge.
They did the knowledge, yeah.
Including, I believe, Timmy Mallett.
Yes.
And
Nick Ferreira,
Nick
Ferreira, his name is.
Off of another radio station, and hang on, some it girl, wasn't it?
And then
was it Lady Victoria Hervey?
She probably was technically a lady, yeah.
She is. That's the name. technically a lady.
On the last night of filming, the rap party, as it is known.
Was it in someone's kitchen?
We were round one of the producers' houses, yes. It was, again, it clearly wasn't a big budget.
Yes, because I remember having a vol-au-vent with Timmy Mallett in a kitchen.
It was a great night up to the point where a man called Timmy Mallett got a bit rowdy after a couple of drinks. Ironically, I ended up having to call him a cab. Do you remember him? Yeah. He loved you because you were promising him a job on Radio 1.
No, I wasn't.
And I remember you saying, yo, there's definitely a place for you on Radio 1. There's definitely a place for you.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Promising him...
I do remember you calling him a cab, though.
Yes, yeah. Other shows that have led to meeting some interesting people include Channel 5's The Right Stuff, which always throws up a few interesting characters, various soaps, Celebrity Mastermind, and, of course, the National Lottery, where I had the incredible honour of meeting the voice of the Balls. It's good to put a face to the Balls name.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Because he's like a legend.
He is. A legend in voice only.
Again, one of those that as soon as you see the face, sort of spoils the voice.
is that rude?
Yes. Really rude.
Well, no. It's, I mean,
he works at Radio 2.
Does he?
Yes.
I don't mean it in, like, a bad way or anything. I just mean in the sense that, you know, you have an image of what people look like.
Yeah.
When I met the voice of the Balls, I was like, oh, right, OK. In my head, I think with the voice of the Balls, I had a sort of Brian Blessed-esque person.
But kind of in a suit.
A real man's man sort of word in this very
I'd say
badly.
He's very much a man's man.
I'm saying the voice of the Balls has... He may be the voice of the Balls, but he's got a face of the... I'm trying to think of a clever way to put it. Voice of the Balls, face of...
Crime Watch.
No, I don't think that's the phrase, is it?
Is that the wrong
voice
the wrong
of
one,
Balls,
isn't it?
Face of Crime Watch. We'll move on. Before I started working on the Scott Mills Show on BBC Radio 1, I would DJ student nights at my old uni, Southampton Uni, for the uni nightclub, and then a few other clubs after that. Part of that job meant that every now and then you would work on the same night as some famous people when they were doing a guest appearance. There have been some classic nights, including nights with a large amount of the cast of Hollyoaks and Skins, various Radio 1 DJs and the occasional actor or pop star. A lot of these nights are pretty standard, but a few stick out. I remember when Jo from S Club 7 came to a club I was DJing in to sing. She was singing along to a backing CD which started skipping. She of course blamed me, and after shouting at me, left the stage.
That's never good when your CD starts to skip.
For me at the time though, it was an absolute honour to be told off by Jo from S Club. I mean, even though she was shouting at me. For me, it was a kind of honour because I loved S Club 7 growing up. One night I was DJing took a turn for the worse when a double bed that was being used by Ron Jeremy collapsed mid-game. And again, I got the blame for that.
Did Ron come over and shout at you?
And I was shouted at, not admittedly not by Ron, but by one of his people. Right. And it's like, listen, I'm not responsible for the structure of the bed. I could never say it was structurally sound for what was going on.
Mm. I'm intrigued as to what was happening.
I also made the big mistake as Vern Troyer, also known as Mini-Me from Austin Powers, was being carried off stage, of pressing play on a CD I was handed by my mate I work with. The song I played is called I Wish by a man called Skilo. It goes like this.
No.
Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller.
And I obviously didn't clock quite what the words were. I was, you know, it was exciting time, it was busy, it was...
Did your friend make you play that CD on purpose?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. As this began to play, Vern Troyer turned around and pointed at me. I'd been stitched up,
right,
basically.
You really had.
I was told off by the person that was with him and by my boss at the time. I later questioned my mate I was working with as to why he had this CD, and he had no answer.
He'd made it specially.
But he'd obviously, what he'd done is made it, knowing that I was going to panic. I often get asked, who is the best or nicest celebrity I've met since working at Radio 1? But the one thing that my mates often ask about is the famous girls and what they are really like. It's a weird one, this. I have to admit that sometimes meeting people you may fancy often leads to disappointment because they either have a really bad attitude or they are really boring.
Like who?
I offended Cheryl Cole by leaving her a nudie pen when she was being interviewed by Fern Cotton. I told Pixie Lott to leave me alone when she called me on my birthday. And I offered, unsuccessfully, to take Alyssa Reid up London Bridge.
That was my favourite one so far.
Sort of flopped with that, didn't I?
Yeah. I think she was too famous for you by then.
Really?
Not so much now.
It was just that week she had that song and it went to number one.
It was
like
number one,
yeah. It shocked us all and it was...
It shocked us all.
When Rihanna came into our show on Radio 1, my mates had warned me that this was an opportunity that I really needed to make the most of.
What? How?
I asked her if she would like to go to a Watford game with me. I remember seeing Scott put his head in his hands as I asked her this. But surprisingly, she said yes, and then qualified it by saying it was a date. You know that happened. There's audio proof.
Yeah, but they don't mean it.
To this day, she still hasn't been to a Watford game with me, either home or away. But the invitation is still there if she'd like to.
Also, you need to stop tweeting her. It looks like you're begging it.
In my time at the Tap End so far, I've had the prestigious honour of meeting 2 out of 5 Spice Girls, and every single member of all versions of the Sugar Babes.
That's millions of people.
Yes, loads. Who knows what the future will hold? I do feel that I need to right some of the wrongs of my experiences with largely the female celebrities that I've had dealings with so far. And Vern Troyer, who I apologise greatly to.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
somebody that walked out of a pub. This is someone's brother who hates Mrs. Brown's boy so much. It was showing just on the TV in the pub. They'd already bought drinks and he made us leave the drinks, full drinks, and leave the pub because it's that bad. It really, really gets people.
Just a bizarre reaction.
So weird.
The Red Nose Hell and High Water Challenge.
Greg James is on the Zambezi River, one of the most dangerous rivers in the world, rowing solidly for 5 days. But by now, I'm imagining the physical exhaustion has started to kick in. Let's find out. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. You're right. It's monotonous. It's monotonous, the paddling. But it's a much calmer day than yesterday. But we're all flagging a bit because what's the time here now? It's 4:10.
Yeah.
Africa time. And we're just flagging a little bit. So we've just stopped to obviously chat to you. But actually, this is an amazing break. So thank you so much.
No problem.
We look forward to our little breaks.
I know. When I was on the desert trek, I used to really look forward to speaking to you on Radio 1 every day because I was like, oh, I could have a break. This is really good.
Oh. Well, it's exactly the same. So it's been quite a long slog, but it's slightly slower, and it's kind of, in a way, the slower you go, the more arduous it is, because it's quite monotonous. The scenery doesn't change very quickly, but we have to go quite slowly because this is a real massive hippo area, because the water at the bank is quite shallow, and they just sort of, they mosey on down the bank and then just sit there under the water, and you don't really know where they are because they stay under for sort of 6 to 8 minutes, and then suddenly they just rise up. And you have to make sure you avoid them. So we've got a guide at the front and a guy at the back, and the guy at the front keeps banging his boat to sort of make the hippos know that we're there, kind of thing. So it's really weird. It's actually really weird because it's quite eerie when you're just coasting through this vast bit of river, which is so wide you can't really see the bank, and you just kind of think, where are we? What is this place? And there's no one around to really help you. There's no. Coast Guard around, but it's been quite an eerie afternoon, and we're just aching, and everyone's very, very bitten. Last night, because we camped up right by the riverside. I think it's... Get out of the way!
What's that?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, I've lost the line, I think.
Is he all right?
I think it's okay. We might just have a little problem with the communication. Hello, Greg. Hello.
1, 2, 3. Oh, sorry, I think... Hello?
Hello?
I can't hear anybody. Hello?
This happens quite a lot. It's quite far.
Hello?
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Greg?
Hello?
No.
Scott? I can hear you. No, hello? What's going on? Hello?
Hello?
Scott? Hi, yes. I can hear you. Sorry.
Hooray.
Oh, that was
I was
bad.
About
sorry.
To explain about the hippos and how that they are the most... Well, the biggest threat, the kind of most lethal... animal in Africa. They kill 3,000 people every year just on the Zambezi.
That's true. Yeah, sorry about that. I thought someone walked in front of the satellite again and it went off. They're really dangerous, and that's why we have to go really slowly. But that makes the journey longer, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, but apart from that, we're better than yesterday, and we had an amazing trip this morning, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, in terms of bites and stuff, Dara woke up this morning and he just looked like he had chicken pox. I mean, he's literally been attacked all over, front and back and legs and arms and everything.
What's that, mosquitoes then?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a huge problem here as well. Lucky we've got our malaria tablets and all that kind of stuff, and we've had all the jabs and all the rest of it, but still it's not 100% prevention.
No.
But yeah, we're just trying to be as safe and as aware as possible.
From the constant paddling, aren't your backs really aching now?
Yeah, they are. So we sort of have to keep moving positions. It's like being on a budget airline. You have to keep getting up every now and then and just shuffling around. I won't name the budget airline. You know the ones I mean. You have to keep getting up and moving and stuff. And you are achy, totally. And when you get up in the morning, you just go, oh, yes, we've had a day on the river, haven't we? So, it's just taking its toll, definitely. And we're just getting... I feel like we're getting ground down as the days go on. And the prospect of getting to the next campsite tonight and setting up the tents again and setting up all the bits and then cooking dinner again and all the rest of it is not filling us with happiness right now.
No.
But you know what? We went to this thing earlier today. We visited the village earlier on today. And it sort of... It made everything make sense without sounding too worthy and predictable, but it did. It sort of it made sense why we were doing this silly challenge, because we actually met people that will be benefiting from this. We went to a village that will, a village like that will get money that people are donating. So it's all for an amazing cause.
And remember, like when Greg is saying about, going to these places and meeting the people where the money goes, remember, without us sending in that money, they could never, ever kind of, have access to anything that Comet Relief can offer them. They're just ridiculously, awful, tough lives, very, very poor. And that's when you kind of realise that just picking up your phone and deciding to text and give that £1, it really, really, really does change people's lives, just for a pound.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Yeah, well, I've just quickly, Scott, I've got Mel here who spoke to one of the girls earlier on. She just wanted to chat quickly about that, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Hi, Scott, how are you?
Hey, Mel, you're all right?
I'm good, not too bad. A few blisters, few aches and pains, but we're trucking on.
I hear, yes.
And I have to say, yesterday we had such a hideous day, and later in the day we heard that the Radio 1 listeners had been really generous and had been donating lots and sending in lots of messages, and it really, really lifted everyone's spirits. So we have to say a huge thank you and keep it coming in, please.
Yes, I mean, we've had so many lovely, lovely messages of support for you guys. And I think that when you're in a situation like that, when you're thousands of miles away from home, just a little something, a little bit fun or just something a little bit heartfelt can really, really cheer you up when you're feeling quite down about everything.
Oh, it helped so much. And I have to tell you about Grace, a beautiful girl I met today in the village very close to where we were camping. She's 15 years old, she's married, and she's got a little two-month-old baby boy. And she used to go to school, but unfortunately, because of financial circumstances, she couldn't afford to go to school anymore. And really, the culture dictates here that if you don't get an education and move on and get a job, then, you usually marry quite young and have a family quite young. And, that's the culture here. And it often happens in the UK. But it was so sad to see that she wasn't happy about it. She really regretted not being able to finish her studies, and she was really concerned about the future for her and her son. And they really struggle to have enough money to eat in the village, and the children that are lucky enough to go to school, they walk for 2 hours a day to get to the closest school, and that's without eating, without breakfast. They'll get a dinner when they get home, and that's the only meal they get all day. So we really would love everybody to send in whatever they can to Comic Relief, because it would be fantastic if we could help build more schools closer to these people and enable them to be able to continue their studies and go on and do the things they want to do. And the dreams of these children are incredible. They all want to be teachers and doctors and nurses and really give back to their own community. So it was a really, really inspiring visit today.
That's a lovely story. Thank you so much, Mel.
My pleasure.
All right.
Hand you back to Scott, yeah? I mean, you are, Scott.
Greg.
I'm delirious. I need some sleep. I need some food.
Hand me back to Scott, then.
Hello. That's what it's like. Because the sun's beating down on you all day.
It's the humidity.
You've got to keep drinking, otherwise you just go delirious, like Mel C from the Spice Girls.
That's right.
So anyway, that's what we did this morning, a really inspiring trip. And that sort of made us forget about all the aches and pains and the hideous bites. I've got one very close to my crotch region, Scott. I don't want to be too graphic, but I took my clothes off last night and I thought, oh my God, there's been a guy down there. There's been a little something in my shorts all day.
See, even on the Zambezi, you can't resist the temptation to just get your kit off, can you?
Well, excuse me.
I know how hot it is.
30 plus in that tent. If I could take my skin off, I would. Yes. It's that hot. It's horrible. the other morning, I don't know if that picture's been put on the blog or not, but there's a picture of my mattress with a me-shaped sweat mark.
I saw that
whole thing.
I saw that earlier. Yeah. It's just literally the shape of Greg James, but in sweat.
Yeah. The whole thing. It happened again last night.
Yeah.
And we woke up with just bites galore. So it's definitely, I know we keep saying it, but it's definitely harder than we all thought. Yeah. Last week, you saw me in the office, and I was going, "Yeah, it'll be great.
That'd be fine,
great
yeah.
week."
Yeah.
And then you get here and you realise quite how appropriate the title is, Hell and High Water. Yesterday was the high water and it's just a continuous hell. But yeah, the visit this morning was wicked. And thank you to everyone who's been texting in and stuff, because it's making a huge, huge difference.
Absolutely, it really is. Thank you so much. Once again, the Radio 1 listeners, step up to it and... really, really generous. So thank you. Greg, all right, we'll speak to you later on your own show with Hugh. Thank you very much. Send love to everyone.
Thank you. And if you're listening now and maybe you're 15 and you're at college right now and you're listening to this and you thought that, you know, if you're 15 years old and you're a girl like Grace was that Mel met earlier, and you are just sitting there going, yeah, I'm pretty fortunate actually. If you can spare that £1, it would be amazing. So please just get your phone out right now and just do it. Just send a little text. It'll be £1. That's all we want from you, and that is text Greg to 70011. Do it right now, Greg to 70011. Just for example, five of those texts, £5, will fund a whole month's worth of schooling for a kid over here. So thank you.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Greg. It really is that simple. If you want to donate, just text Greg to 70011. Let's all get our phones out and do it now. So, get your phone. And where you put the message, normally where you put the text, just type the word Greg. Everyone do this for me now. G-R-E-G. Greg. And then send it to these numbers. 70011. Okay, so now it should be ready to send. So just Greg in the text box and 70011 and send now. And you'll get a nice little message from Comet Relief saying that they promise to do great work with your money, which they will. It's that simple. Don't text the Radio 1 number. The number you need is 70011. It really is that simple to change someone's life. Greg. 70011. It costs you £1 plus your standard network message charge. The whole pound goes straight to Comic Relief. All of that pound straight to Comic Relief. You'll be helping people, changing their lives. You've got to be 16 or over, and please ask the bill payer's permission. It'll make you feel warm and fuzzy. For terms and conditions and for more information, go to bbc.co.uk/red nose day. I think to persuade people, Chris, we need the song again. We'll do that in a minute. £1 text. 70011. Text the word Greg now. And thank you very much from all of us at Radio 1 and Comet Relief.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Get your phone out. It's only £1. Let's do it. 70011.
Come on, Greg James. Come on, Greg James.
Text Greg to 70011. Your whole pound
come
goes...
Come on, Greg James. Come on, Greg James.
Straight to Comet Relief.
Text. Pay for textbooks, £1 text. Feed two children, £1 text. Ride clean water, £1 text. Very, very cheap, £1 text. School orphans, £1 text. Help street kids, £1 text. Feel warm and fuzzy, £1 text. £1, £1.
Whoa, what a reaction. Lee in Twickenham has defriended people on Facebook already because they like Miranda. It's a TV show, seriously. Hi, Jade.
Hello.
Where are you, please?
I'm in Cudley.
Where's that?
Near New Nabbot.
Oh, OK. Off Devon. Of Devon.
Yes.
How can I help?
I was just ringing up to say that my mum made me watch Mrs. Brown Boys once and I hated it. I wouldn't speak to her for about 2 days because it was so bad.
You defriended your own mum in real life.
I did.
2 days?
I think it's ridiculous, though, because it's like, even if you don't like it, it can't be, you know, it can't roll you up that much that you fall out your mum about it.
Why is it?
It was so bad. It just really was bad. Miranda is brilliant, though.
Okay, so you're getting Miranda, but not really.
Yeah, I'm on the Miranda train.
All right, good to speak to you, Jay. Love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
I'll move back down.
Oh, me and Hugh Stevens spent a good hour in the back of a car with Fun once.
Really?
It was well good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was it fun?
It was. They were fun.
It was pretty cool. On the way to the Teen Awards,
actually,
wasn't
it? They weren't that much fun, were they?
I think they were tired and a bit jet-lagged. Yeah. And he got the lyrics wrong for We Are Young.
Yes.
During the Teen Awards.
Yeah, and they were first on as well.
Yeah.
Do you think it was the ride in the car previously which put them off? Because that's probably our fault.
Might have been.
Oh.
It's not difficult, though. It's just... We are young.
Tonight, we are young. Set the world fire. It's not hard. I could do it. And now it's time for Real or No Real with Hugh Stevens, who's on for Greg at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks for coming in and playing our little game.
Pleasure. Pixie Lott's on today from four.
Lads. I know, I've seen this. They've put crash barriers outside.
Oh, have they?
I think it's a little bit excessive. And here's your first one.
Mariah Carey loves log flumes. During 2003's Charm Bracelet World Tour, she would spend her days visiting theme parks, sometimes running straight to the log flume and leaving as soon as the ride was over. She keeps the souvenir photos in an album she calls Mariah's Little Log Book.
There's quite a detailed one there.
We've talked about this before, where celebrities may go on these rides and you know how you always have your picture taken? Like, if I was behind you on the log flume and we were queuing for photos and I saw your... I'll probably buy your one rather than mine because it's just quite cool seeing a celebrity there. Yeah. And,
I never go on log flumes. I wouldn't class myself as a celebrity, Chris. Well, but thanks anyway, little charmer.
But it's true. I mean, if let's say that Una, Marley Michelle or any of the Saturdays, Vanessa even...
Oh, proper celebs,
were on the log flume behind you, then like I probably would buy their picture.
If you were going to... I mean, if you only had a fiver, you'd... You'd buy their picture rather than yours, wouldn't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Mariah Carey, log flumes, real or no real?
Well, I like her because she's one of those unpredictable pop stars.
Yep.
Belting voice. You don't know what she's going to do next.
I tell you what, I don't know if you've seen the beef between her and Minaj on American Idol. It feels like it's real.
Oh, wow.
She just sits there going, to everything that Minaj says. It's brilliant TV.
Cool. That's
so
good, isn't it?
It's on a random channel, like 5+ Star USA or something. One of them five ones that I don't really understand. Real or no real?
Real.
I'm going to say no real.
That one is no real.
Oh. 10 points for each one you get right, listeners.
Shakira was banned from her school choir because her music teacher thought she had a voice like a goat.
Well, I can see that point.
Shakira.
It wasn't one of those things which has been lost in translation, is it? Where voice of the goat translate into a compliment.
Well, because they said it in Mexican.
Language. Yeah. It's actually voice of goat is like a beautiful thing. It just translates badly to English.
Lucky
that
my breast is small and humble.
That's a good impression. There's a really good band called Goat. I played them on The Breakfast Show for the New Music Takeover. Yes. And all their song titles are called Something Something Goat. Something Something Goat. I'm trying to book them for... this isn't a joke. I'm genuinely trying to book them for a session for my Wednesday night show.
Really?
They're called Goat. They're amazing. They're Swedish.
Yep.
Is this true? I think probably true because your impression of Shakira there is pretty good, Scott.
Underneath your clothes.
She is a little bit goatee.
Yeah, she is a bit goatee.
Do the wolf, the she-wolf.
She's not as goatee on that. There's a she-wolf in the closet.
Pretty goatee.
Okay, yeah, real or no real?
Real.
That one is real.
Yes. Voice of a goat. And next on Real or No Real.
Band-Aid 20 favourite Joss Stone is going out with Dick from Dick and Dom.
Wow. Band-Aid 20 fave. I thought Joss Stone had...
I think that's unfair. She did more than that.
What was her biggest hit? Joss Stone. Tricky.
I've picked up... I think I'm the only one who's picked on Dick from Dick and Dom.
Yes.
We're not going to question the fact that she's dating him.
Why is that bad?
Why do you question that?
What's wrong with that?
Both good-looking chaps. Mm.
What?
Who, Dick and Dom?
Yeah.
Both
strapping lads.
Okay. I like the one who does magic the best. Is that Dick or Dom?
I can't remember.
That's Dom,
yeah.
What's wrong with Joss Stone going out with one of the bungalow
Nothing. Kids? It's very random. Very, very random.
I thought she'd like sold out and left her Devon, Devonian roots and went to live in America and got an American accent. She wouldn't bump into Dick and Dom there. Maybe she would. I'm saying real.
Maybe that's where they've gone to. I'm saying no real, though.
That one is no real.
Oh, yeah, she's got an American accent, and yeah.
And next. If he could go back in time, Dizzy Rascal says he would head to ancient Egypt. The bonkers rapper says he'd love to find out who really did all that.
Who really did all that? Please, someone turn this into a TV show.
It's got ITV2 written all over it, hasn't it?
Mm. I don't know. I think I can sort of imagine this. I know that sounds bizarre.
He's unpredictable, isn't he, Dizzy? Yeah. Like Mariah.
Same.
But, you know, some of these pop stars and that must have odd hobbies, you know, that to pass the time. Some of them probably into stamp collecting and stuff like that. I'm going to say this is real.
Do you remember Khalees?
Mm.
She had a massive thing for knitting.
Oh, yes.
And she flew one of our bosses at the time, who was a keen knitter, flew her over to America to be her personal knitting assistant.
The boss from here?
The boss from here was flown over. Khalees met her at Radio 1's Big Weekend and was like, oh, you can knit? I love knitting. And then hired her as her personal knitting assistant.
She left Radio 1 to become a knitter?
No, she didn't leave Radio 1, but she did become Khalees' personal knitting assistant.
That is incredible.
Yeah, so it does happen. Real or no real? Dizzy Rascal, Egypt.
No real.
I think it's real.
That one is real.
Oh, well done, Chris.
And your final fact or not?
Pitbull, a.k.a. Mr. Worldwide, is a washer, not a walker.
Huh?
Is a what? A washer? So he washes his hands?
Pitbull, a.k.a. Mr. Worldwide, is a washer, not a walker.
And by walker, we mean him walking away without washing their hands?
Oh, after going to the toilet. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a washer. He looks after himself, I reckon. Pitbull, yeah. I'm saying real.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's a.
Does he wash his hands?
This one, yeah, go on. Real.
That one is real.
Yes, he does wash his hands. He's not a walker. That's good to know.
Looks after himself.
And at the end of that round of real or no real,
I scored 50. You scored 20.
Oh, Hugh, you're rubbish at this. You don't remember saying.
Nice to have you on.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Let's talk about the irrational hatred that people have of Mrs. Brown's boys and why. People are now defriending other people on Facebook just for liking it.
Loads of people are loving it as well.
Oh, yeah. Also, we have someone that split up with a girlfriend because of her constant need to watch Friends on E4. She had to go. And someone that dumped somebody else because they got the Glee box set.
Serious?
Yep. Hello, caller.
Hello, mate.
Hi. Now, we don't want to reveal your identity, so make sure you don't say what your name is. We'll call you Fernando.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah.
Hello. And we're not going to reveal any details of where you live or anything about you, but what do you want to say to the nation?
Well, personally, I think that Mrs. Brown's boys is absolutely brilliant, really, to be fair. You know,
but obviously you don't want to reveal anything else because of possible repercussions.
No, of course not. I mean, there'll be a brick through the window. And
well, you just don't know what could happen.
I can't believe that someone's got to be anonymous in saying that they like something.
Thanks, Fernando.
This is ridiculous.
Really good speak to you.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Join us tomorrow on BBC Radio 1 between 1 and 4 and get ready to witness the wetness. Thursday's Innuendo Bingo at 1:45. If you can't listen live, then get this handy podcast. Scott Mills.